And we'll start with a look at the sometimes hilarious language barrier between Americans and Brits. Chris Ray helps us suss out how ancient expressions live on as slang today. Relics, journaling, and British English. It's all just ahead on Travel with Rick Steves. Hi, I'm Rick Steves, and this is Travel with Rick Steves. After living in the U.S. for a while, Scotsman Chris Ray decided that we Yanks needed some help with the English language, particularly the way it's commonly spoken back in Britain. He's published a natty little guide to the slang that separates us from our mother country, and Chris joins us in a moment to sort it all out. Then, Peter Manceau explains the power of relics and how these religious symbols still carry more weight than you might expect. And we'll finish off with some pointers on writing a travel journal in a way that just might make it your most treasured souvenir. A lot of people are kind of stressed out about the language barrier, so they go to Britain. And when they get to Britain, they realize there's a language barrier. In fact, Oscar Wilde said, America and Britain are two nations divided by a common language. I'm joined today by Chris Ray, who's written a book about the language barrier Americans will experience when they go to Britain. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Your book is called The Septic's Companion. An American has to ask right off the bat, what do you mean by septic? I think of septic tank.
Yep, and you would be right thinking of that. To explain the title, I guess I have to explain a little bit about Cockney rhyming slang.
Okay, so these are the people that live sort of working class down the river in London, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
I think technically it's people who were born within the sound of Bow Bells Church or that kind of thing. So Cockney rhyming slang is a wordplay where you use a two-word couplet to refer to another word which rhymes with the second word of the couplet.
So
to give you an example of ones that are in sort of everyday use in the UK, butcher's hook is used to mean the word look. And you can then say...
Just so, because hook rhymes with look.
Exactly.
It's that simple.
Precisely. Right.
Okay, so give me another example.
So let's say loaf. People use loaf of bread to say head. And I ought to add that you don't necessarily have to use both words of this couplet to mean the other word. So you could say loaf to mean head, and you could say butchers to mean look. Use your loaf is a very common phrase in the UK.
So butcher's hook means look.
Correct.
Give it a butcher's hook, give it a look.
Give it a butcher's, yeah.
And you could then just say, give it a butcher's.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a secret language of the Cockney people. Is that so poor people can communicate without rich people understanding?
It's an interesting one. Cockney rhyming slang is curious because if you ask a Brit for examples of Cockney rhyming slang, they'll give you reams and reams of them. And in actual fact, a lot of them are not in real life usage. A lot of them are just ones that maybe were used a long time ago or that people bring out as examples of Cockney rhyming slang, but they're not in everyday use.
Now, you're Scottish.
I'm Scottish, yeah.
So you grew up in where? Edinburgh or something?
I grew up in Edinburgh. I lived in London for 10 years.
So if you went down into within the earshot of Bow's Bells or whatever, you would hear people in the working class neighborhoods still talking a lot of Cockney stuff?
Oh, yes. I mean, all over the UK, people will use, like the examples I gave you, butcher's loaf. People say Jackie's to mean Jackie Onassis, glasses. Let me put
so
my Jackie's
Jackie
on.
So Jackie Onassis rhymes with glasses. So you could say Jackie Onassis to mean glasses, and then you could just drop the thing that rhymes. So there's really no way you know what the heck you're talking about and just call it Jackie's, which means glasses.
Exactly. And those ones are in use across the UK.
Jackie's.
So, yep.
That's very complicated. Okay, getting back to our original question then, why is your book called The Septic's Companion?
You were right to start with. Septic tank is rhyming slang for yank, which to a Brit is anyone in America.
Septic tank. So you could call a yank a septic tank if you're Cockney, and then if you're really casual with the language, just shorten it by calling it a septic. So Cockney people can call a Yankee a septic.
Correct.
There you go. So this is the septic's companion. Now, just to get a few more of the ground rules here, when we're talking about Britain, it's always confusing. You've got Great Britain, you've got the United Kingdom, and you've got England. What's the difference between Great Britain and United Kingdom?
This is an amusing one because... One of the things that Brits get annoyed about is Americans not understanding which parts of UK, you know, is everything in England? Is Scotland in England? And quite honestly, I have a lot of sympathy because a lot of Brits don't really understand the difference between the parts of the UK either when it comes down to is Northern Ireland in Great Britain and this kind of stuff. So Great Britain or United... So let me start with the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland is a country.
So when you say the United Kingdom, you're talking about the realm, and that includes Northern Ireland.
Correct.
And if you say Great Britain, are you talking not about a political realm, but about an island?
You were talking about England, Scotland, Wales.
So that's the island. It's called Great Britain.
Correct.
And you were incorrect to include Northern Ireland in Great Britain because it's just flat out not on that island. It's on an island called Ireland.
Yep, correct.
And the island of Ireland, it has two political zones. It's got Northern Ireland, which is part of the United Kingdom, and the Republic of Ireland, which is four-fifths of the island.
Correct, yeah.
Got it. Okay. I'm just going to ask you a few of these, and we'll talk about it. Baltic.
Baltic, yes. Very cold.
So is that just because the Baltics are up in the north?
Yeah, I think it really is that simple.
So it's like Baltic out.
Yep.
It's like we could say it's Alaskan out.
Yes.
Similar, but we don't. Bangers. I see that on the menus. You want some bangers?
Yep.
What is that?
And usually in bangers and mash. Bangers are just sausages. The etymology is a little vague, but it likely comes from the fact that, sausages bang if they're sausages with thick skins and you fry them for a little too long.
Or they pop when they're cooking.
Yeah.
Bangers. Oh, okay. Well, you have crackers at Christmas, right? Little toys that pop?
We do.
All right. Now, on a bank holiday, you might have bangers. What's a bank holiday?
To a Brit, a holiday is not only a sort of preset holiday by the state, it's also just any time off work. And a bank holiday is traditionally a day when the banks are shut. And so this is a state holiday when the banks are shut.
So in our country, President's Day, Veterans Day, a day when the banks are shut,
yep.
You would just call a holiday a bank holiday.
Yeah, that's
true. School would be out, banks are closed. It's a holiday, bank holiday.
Yeah, and actually bank holidays have become a little bit more, they're harder to nail down these days. Many people working in the UK will get bank holidays off. Many people will not get bank holidays off, and they'll get a day in lieu instead.
But nobody's beavering on a bank holiday.
Beavering meaning kind of working away busily, of course.
Is that what beavering means?
Yeah, it does indeed, yeah. And I think, again, it's just much like, you know, beaver is kind of chewing away.
So beavers are always like busy as a busy bunny or a busy beaver.
Yeah.
Okay, so beavering is working hard.
Yep, it is indeed.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Chris Ray. Chris Ray is a Scotsman, and he's written a book called The Septic's Companion. And septic is, of course, the short for septic tank, which rhymes with yank. So this is The Yankee's Companion, How Americans Can Get Over the Language Barrier. It's just so much fun reading. It's basically a dictionary of words that Americans will encounter, and it will cause them some confusion. Chris, I'd like to just go on a couple of words here just for fun here. Afters. When you're looking on the menu, it says afters. What are we looking at there?
Yeah, you're looking at desserts. It's an interesting one that we don't call appetizers befores, but we do call them starters. And you see that a little bit on U.S. menus, so that's reasonably well known. But
so there's some confusion. An entree, that's our big course.
Yeah, that's true. We would call that a main course.
And what is an entree for you?
An entree is a starter for
us. It's an appetizer.
Yes. There is a little bit of confusion on that one, I'm willing to admit.
That is confusing. Okay. Now, sometimes somebody, it's bad weather out, and they want to put on their anorak, right?
Yeah.
Am I pronouncing that right? Anorak.
You're pronouncing that exactly right.
Okay. So that's what we would call a parka.
Yeah, exactly. It's supposedly, the word anorak also means someone who's a bit kind of nerdy about a particular topic. There's a bit of a debate about the etymology of it, but historically in the UK, we had very tightly controlled radio, and some of the radio stations broadcast from ships offshore to avoid the rules. And the fans of those radio stations would go out, stand on the ships, and, you know, to take part in the radio programs, all wearing anoraks. And it's possible that the word anorak, as meaning sort of a nerdy person, came from the description of those fans by the radio program people.
So an anorak is a geek.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he wears a waterproof jacket to be on a radio show.
Yep.
Obviously. And anti-clockwise. Of course, we have counterclockwise.
Yeah, I don't know how we ended up doing that differently.
Anti-clockwise.
But
so
yes.
If you say counterclockwise in Britain, it's not right.
It's the case with a lot of words. If you're American, Brits get a lot of exposure to American television and this kind of stuff. But also with this particular one, it's reasonably easy to guess at. But certainly you'll get a double take if you use that.
So if you're going into a roundabout, you don't go anti-clockwise. Because the British drive on the left side of the road, you're going to go into this, you're not going to stop at a stop sign, and you're going to go clockwise.
Correct.
And if you have an articulated lorry, what does that mean?
A lorry is what Americans would call a big truck. And an articulated lorry is one that's articulated, that's kind of bent in the middle, so that the cab part will separate from the,
okay,
from the container part.
How about blimey? Where does that come from? Blimey. You hear that on movies a lot.
Yeah, and that's true. Or the sort of longer phrase, core blimey, is like an older version of the same thing. I think it's reasonably certain that the etymology of that is from the phrase, God blind me. And that comes from... some sort of version of "May God blind me if this is not so."
Okay, I could see that in medieval times, and then just kind of evolving into "blimey."
Yeah, but "blimey" now is very much an everyday phrase in the UK.
Now, I like to say "bloody." It's bloody hot, but when I say that, other people act like I'm cursing or swearing. Is it really a bad word, "bloody"?
In that context, it's maybe...
It's like damned, isn't it?
It's very like damn in that sense. You'd never put it up in, you know, a presentation you were doing, but, you know, you wouldn't get fired for using it ever, I don't think.
So it's just a strong word.
It's a sort of mild swear word. You'd slap your children if you
said it.
Bloody
mean of you.
Exactly.
That sort of thing, or that was bloody clever. Where did that word come from, bloody?
I think it's from By Our Lady. This is another
so another,
you know,
God blind me,
yeah,
sort of thing. So a lot of the Christian sort of medieval heritage of England survives in its bloody language.
Yep, true.
All right. Bob's your uncle. I love that when people say Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, I hope you're not going to ask me where that comes from because I have no idea.
I just hardly, it makes sense when somebody says it, but I have a hard time explaining it. How do you define, Bob's your uncle?
It's kind of like, you know, you're done, you know, that's it. You know,
it's kind of like, well, obviously, right?
Yeah, kind of. It's like, that's it complete. You know, once you complete these steps, Bob's your uncle.
I see.
You're done.
So you follow the directions carefully, 1, 2, 3, and Bob's your uncle.
Exactly, yeah. Turn left at the bank, down the road, and, you know, Bob's
and
your uncle.
It's not rocket science. Bob's your uncle.
Yep.
Very nice. Chris, we've just scratched the surface, but it's a fascinating thing, studying the language barrier between Britain and America. Chris has written The Septics Companion. Chris's website is septicscompanion.com. Chris, in Britain, you would say cheers. Does that mean sort of thanks?
Yep, cheers means pretty much thanks. We might also say a little bit more informally ta or ta very much.
Ta. And ta, what would that be from?
I believe it's from Scandinavian word tak,
okay,
meaning thank you.
All the Scandinavians say tak, so in England you just drop the K, ta. Hmm. Ta very much.
Thank you.